Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood." We must remember that. But it's against rulers, the authorities, and the against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places or heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Did you notice how many times it says you to stand? Stand. My message this morning is stand for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. We are living in a day and age that is absolutely strange. Difficult times in which we live around the world. You know, in Australia, to a degree, we are sheltered from a lot that is happening out there. I'm telling you, but it's only going to be for a time. I believe with all of my heart that we're living in the last days. I believe times are going to get harder and not easier. I believe we are in the last days. I was talking to a Christian lady the other day who was complaining about how hard things are. And I said, but it's what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that in the last days, it's going to be bad. Many will depart from the faith. Paul says, in the last days, the Spirit speaks expressly, there will be terrible times. And we're living in terrible times. We're living in those terrible times where there's a battle taking place for the souls of men and women. Paul says, we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight people. We're fighting powers and authorities of this dark world. You and I are living in days like never before. Days that are escalating in darkness, in fear. The whole world monetary system possibly is about to collapse. There are things that are happening around the world that are not going to improve, but only going to get worse. And if you don't believe me, read your Bible. The Bible makes it very clear about the last days. And I believe we're living in them. I've always thought, I'll probably see the second coming of Jesus. I'll probably be alive to see that. Well, it's still possible. He could come at any time because of the condition, the world in which we're living. And we're living in a day and age where there's a battle taking place where the enemy wants to destroy Christians. For Christians today, it is very difficult. Anybody who is a Christian knows how difficult it is, and it's getting more difficult to make a stand for Jesus Christ. In places where there's great persecution, and there's many countries in the world that persecute, violently persecute Christians. More Christians are persecuted, more Christians are put to death today than ever before, and people don't realize that. And then we live in the Western world, countries like ours, where if you're a Christian, you're laughed at. If you're a Christian, they think there's something wrong with you. They tolerate religion, but they don't tolerate Christians. I'm talking about real Christians. Christians are not tolerated. We're made to feel as if we're the odd ones out. We're made to feel as if there's something wrong about us. Made to feel that we need to keep our mouths closed by what is happening all around us. I'm telling you, I believe in these last days, it's time for the church to make a stand. I believe that we should start to stand up for Jesus and stand as Christians and not be afraid of what we see. Terrible times are here and terrible times are coming. But God's looking for men and women who will stand. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You got to not give up. You got to endure. You got to learn to fight. You got to learn to battle. You got to learn to stand as a Christian, because the devil wants to knock you down. The devil wants a piece of you. In fact, tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, which is a very interesting scripture, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So Peter says, stand. Make a stand, because the devil is going around like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, by the way. He's trying to emulate one. He's trying to copy one. The true lion is Jesus. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. But the devil wants to go with a roar to make you afraid. The devil wants to make you feel that you're not strong, that you're weak, that Christianity is failing, that the Bible has no place in this world, that in actual fact, Christians, well, they're nothing, and they mean nothing, and they count for nothing. Let me tell you something about Christians, what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's time that Christians started to shake and shine for Jesus. Amen? Come on. Can I get some amens from that? It's time the church stood for what we believed and started to shake and shine for Jesus, because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And I tell you, the only thing that's keeping this world going, really, without it completely disintegrating, are the Christians who are living in it and standing up for Jesus. Like we've heard about the missionaries this morning. People who are in different countries standing up for Jesus, not afraid to fight, not afraid to say who they are in Jesus Christ. The devil wants a piece of us, but he's not going to get us. Amen? The Bible also says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at this, James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're living in a tragic time where there's a war taking place in Ukraine. Terrible war. Putin believed there wouldn't be a war. He amassed his troops by the thousands, and his tanks and artillery. And he came to the borders of Ukraine. The first place he was going to go and walk into was Kiev. He was going to just walk over it. Just before the Second World War started, Adolf Hitler amassed his troops to annex Czechoslovakia. He marched into Czechoslovakia with an incredible army. And the Czechs were so frightened, they didn't lift a finger. He just walked in and took over the nation. He annexed it. Well, that's what Putin thought he was going to do. He amassed his troops. The troops of Ukraine were in the minority. 10-1 were against them. They had tanks, artillery, the Russians did, and they said what they've got and what they could do, and to put fear into Ukrainians. They were, and Putin really believed there would not be a war. He really believed it was a military exercise to go in there and take over. But do you know what happened? The Ukrainians resisted. They made a stand against all odds. They stood against a Russian force that were 10 times their strength. They stood against guns, artillery, and tanks, and they didn't have the amount of artillery that the Russians had. But they stood their ground and drove them back from Kiev, and are driving them back now. Well, I don't know what the end of the war will be, but you know what it's done? It shocked Putin. It shocked him, because he never expected them to stand their ground and fight. And can I say this to you? The devil wants to make you feel outnumbered. The devil wants to make you feel as if he's got more against you than what you've got. The devil wants to tempt you. The devil wants to pull you down, drag you down, destroy your family, destroy your marriage. He wants to do all that he can to Christians to make them feel insignificant. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to this. The Bible tells us very clearly that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Come on. The greater one is in us. And so that scripture says, you know, when the devil comes, the prowler, stand steadfast, stand against him. Stand steadfast, dig your heels in and say, devil, you've come so far, you're not coming any further. And the Ukrainians are in a place where they're causing the Russians to run. How do you think the Ukrainian soldiers feel today? How do you think the Ukrainian people feel today when they are seeing this massive nation, this fearful nation with so much power on the run? Because the Ukrainians stood their ground. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's going off in your life, whether there's sickness and illness, whether it's marriage problems, family problems, financial problems. I'm telling you, the devil wants you to think that you're no good. He wants to oppress you. He wants to depress you. He wants to pull you down. He wants to shut your mouth. He doesn't want you speaking about Jesus. He doesn't want you speaking about the Bible. He wants the Christians to be quiet and to shut up and just go quietly around doing nothing and saying nothing so that the devil can have the full control that he wants. Well, I'm telling you, that is not going to work for us who believe in Jesus Christ. We're going to make our stand. We're going to stand firm. We're going to stand strong. And we're going to resist the devil. And what is the devil going to do? Flee from us. Now, this is good preaching. You should be shouting amens a lot higher than what you're doing. This is good preaching. I'm telling you why it's good preaching. We don't hear as much of this as what we should do. The church is not standing as it should stand. The church in our Western civilization is frightened because we think, well, they're educated people out there. They're philosophers out there. They're psychiatrists, psychologists, intellectuals, it's people that know far more, scientists with all that they know more than we do. I'm going to tell you something. They don't. They don't. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't come from nothing. It came from him. He's something. They want you to believe that all this happened from nothing. Nothing can happen from nothing. God is the creator of all things. He is in control and he is in charge of your life and my life if you will let him be. If you let him be in control, he will be in control. He wants to take you and to bless you and to lift you up. You got a sickness in your body? Come against it. You got financial problems? Come against it in the name of Jesus. You got a marriage that's on the rocks? Come against that and say, devil, you get out of here. Devil, get lost in the name of Jesus. You have no right. You have no authority. You have no power in my life because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil thought he destroyed Jesus. The devil thought he concocted such a great plan to get the Pharisees and the Sadducees against Jesus and to come against the Roman governor and the Romans to come against Jesus. And the night in which he was betrayed, I'm telling you, the disciples were looking on that night and they were afraid. The disciples were afraid. One of them tried to fight a little bit. Jesus wouldn't let him. And they ended up running off. And even Peter, when he followed Jesus as he was being tried, Peter denied Jesus three times. He denied him with swearing and cursing. Judas had betrayed him. The disciples had run. It looked like total failure. It looked like the devil had got what he wanted to get. Jesus dead and out of the place. The devil had said to Jesus, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus said, it's not going to happen that way. That is not going to happen that way. And the devil didn't understand or realize what the plan of God was. Well, when Jesus was crucified, I want to tell you, that looked like total defeat. The Romans mocked. The Pharisees mocked. The people around him mocked. He was beaten, blooded, horribly treated. He looked like an absolute, abject failure, hanging on a cross. And the only people that hung on crosses, as far as the Romans were concerned, were people who were slaves and done something wrong. It was the lowest form of death, the Roman death, on a cross. And Jesus was hanging on there. It's as if he was a slave, a no good, a blasphemer. He's finished. And the devil, I want to tell you, the devil put his hands together and clapped himself. Look what I've done. I've got him. What happened the third day? He rose triumphant from the grave. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his church to reign. That's our Jesus. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered sickness for you and for me. And he's gone to prepare a place for us, which, well, we cannot even imagine how wonderful that place is. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, you believe also in me. My Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. He said this just before they crucified him. Just before they hung him on that cross, just before the disciples took a look and they ran scared, frightened, thinking their master, their rabbi was crucified. What is happening? He had said to them just hours before, if I go, and when I go, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. I'm coming back for you to put you in the new mansions that I've prepared for you. He's coming back. I said, he's coming back. When I said we're living in the last days, that isn't for you to get afraid. We're living in the last days. That's for us to get really happy about this. He's coming back. He's coming back to end all the wars. He's coming back to end all the abuse. All the children that are being abused is coming back to end it all. He'll end the wickedness, the evil that men do. He'll end the violence. He'll end the poverty. He'll end the sickness. He'll end the hunger and the starvation and the deep. He'll end it all. I thank God we're living in the last days, because he's coming back to take us to a better place. In these last days, don't get afraid. Don't be like the disciples when they saw him on the cross thinking, that's it, he's finished. He's not finished. When you see things around you falling apart, when you see this world getting worse, and friend, I'm telling you, you're seeing it. Open your eyes and look around you. As I say, I love Australia, but I think Australia, to a large degree, does not really realize what's happening out there in the world. We don't realize what's happening in the Muslim world, in the Buddhist world, in the Hindu world, in the communist world. We don't really realize what is happening. We don't understand the shaping of things that are taking place and the lives that are being destroyed. Do you know how many lives have just been destroyed in the Ukraine? Both by the Ukrainians killing the Russians and the Russians killing the Ukrainians, and children, women. And I was reading how the children have been, girls have been raped and then killed. This is in our day and age, friends, I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the 21st century. These things are happening with all our education, with all our media, with everything, with all of our universities, with all the knowledge we have. We're living in a world when several wars are taking place and people's lives are just getting hammered. We're living in a world when our climate is out of control, when we're seeing storms and tragedies and floods like never be seen, and hundreds of thousands of people are dying. Just in Pakistan alone, thousands and thousands have died through the floods that they've had. Never seen anything like it. Whole villages and towns have gone. We live in a world that is cruel and a world that is controlled by the evil one. The Bible says the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. But I thank God that God's going to have the last say, because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. God's going to have the last say of what's going to happen to the world. And let me just, don't you get frightened of nuclear warfare, because I know we have the potential to destroy life as we know it. But that isn't going to happen, Because if anybody's going to finish this planet off, it's God who made it. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's not armed forces. That's not going to happen. God will step in like he stepped in at the time of Noah. He stepped in and said, enough is enough. I'm sorry that I even made man on the earth. That's what God said 4,000 years ago. And I tell you, he's saying that now. I think right now God's saying, enough is enough. You're going to hear a trumpet blast. And you're going to hear the shout of an angel. And that's it. It's finished. A whole will be over. And the judgments of God will come upon this earth. I'm telling you, Christian, don't be afraid. Make a stand. Don't be afraid. Make a stand. Don't be afraid. Make a stand like the Ukrainians have made a stand. Don't be like Czechoslovakia and let the enemy just march in and take over and says, we're stronger than you. Do what we tell you or else. No, make a stand. Make a stand for Jesus. That might cost you something. Might cost you something in your marriage. Might cost you something in your workplace. Might cost you, but make a stand for Jesus. You're Christians. You're Christians. Your allegiance is to him. Your allegiance isn't to politics. Don't get mixed up with worldly politics. I'm waiting, Lord, but there's no response. I'll say it again. Don't get mixed up with worldly politics. I've studied history for many years. I love to study history. I'm telling you, politics isn't a new thing. It hasn't just been around in your generation. Politics has been here since day one. And if you read history, you'll find that what has politics done? Nothing. In fact, somebody said, when you study history, you can learn a great lesson from history. I thought, oh, wow, I do study history. What's the great lesson I'm learning from history? And the answer came, the great lesson of history is that history teaches you nothing. The people keep making the same mistakes. Nobody changes. Come on, nobody changes. What you are seeing today with Putin and Moscow, what are you seeing today is what you saw 50, 60, 70 years ago through Hitler. It's a repeat. It's not different. And there's many other wars are going on. There's wars being fought in this world now that you don't even know of. You don't even looked at. Wars going off in Africa. Wars going off in Asia. Terrible things are happening to people. People are being put to death by their thousands, and nobody seems to stand up for them. And I thank God that the church still sends out missionaries. I thank God that the church has not gone quiet. We're sending missionaries out to preach the gospel, to help people, to show them there's a better way. And the better way is Jesus. Politics will tell you, vote for me, you'll have a better world. Come on, vote for me. Vote for Labour. Vote for Liberal. Vote for communism. Vote for this. Vote for that. Vote for the Greens. You'll have a much better world. Let me just tell you, you won't. You won't have a better world. This world is not going to get better. Jesus said it's going to get worse. He gave us an incredible prophecy in Matthew 24 of the end times. Doesn't look like politics are helping there. The world's getting worse. Because do you know what? I'm going to tell you something about politicians and about religious people and about non-religious people. Do you know what it is? They're corrupt. I don't care. Because a politician stands up to say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to make sure you get better, less taxes that you have to pay. You're going to get more in your pensions. They're people. Ordinary people. As corrupt as anybody else. Religious people stand up and say things. As I got so angry the other day when this religious leader, the top religious leader of the Orthodox Church in Russia, and it was on the television, he was dressed in all his... And he said, when Putin wants to raise up more Russian soldiers, he wants to get innocent people to go to Ukraine to be killed. But anyway, this is what he wants to do. And do you know what this guy said? This religious so-called Christian, he says, for all of the men who sign on for the armed forces of Russia and go to Ukraine to fight, if they are killed, then they are killed because they are sacrificing themselves for the motherland, Russia, and all their sins are absolved. The top religious, supposed to be Christian Orthodox leader in Russia has told the men, if you go to war and you're killed, you're going to have all your sins absolved because you're sacrificing for Russia. No, they're not sacrificing for Russia. They're sacrificing for Putin, for a megalomaniac who doesn't realize how evil he has become, who can sleep every night in a mansion. I'm telling you, where he lives is absolutely incredible. The things that he's got, tennis courts, swimming pools, you name it, he's got it. His home's worth millions and millions of dollars, and he's sending young men into the Ukraine to be killed. That's supposed to be called the motherland. No, it's not. Let me just tell you. Don't put your trust in politics. Don't put your trust in religion. Don't put your trust in being intellectual. Because everybody out there is corrupt, and you are without Jesus. It's Jesus who forgives. It's Jesus who cleanses. It's the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us and makes us people that become salt of the earth and light of the world. I finish what I've got to say. I just want to challenge you to make a stand for Jesus. I've been a Christian for well over 60 years. I was a young man when I became a Christian. I'm an old man now. But you know what? I still want to make a stand for Jesus. I don't want to retire. I want to fight for Jesus. I want to shine and shake for Jesus. I want to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth like all Christians are. If I go out, I want to go out with a blaze of glory. Amen. I don't want to rust out. I don't mind burning out for Jesus, but you never burn out for him. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes and gives us that fire, it's inextinguishable. Hallelujah. But it doesn't destroy us. I want to go into heaven in a blaze of glory. As an old man, I say to you now, I want to make a stand for Jesus. No matter what I've done in the past, that's come and gone. All those years of serving, they've gone. I'm an old man. I don't want to retire and give up on Jesus. I look at the world, I get so angry at what I see around me. I get so sad at what I see around me. I'm telling you, I want to make a stand for Jesus. And I'd like to make a stand today. I'd like to make a fresh stand in front of this congregation. I'd like to tell you, I'm going to make a fresh stand for Jesus Christ. I'm going to dig my heels in and say, devil, you've pushed us so far. You're not pushing us any further. There needs to be a voice in Australia. Listen, not a political voice, but a Christian voice. Not a religious voice, but a Christian voice. There needs to be Christians who stand up and say, I know I'm a believer, and I'm going to keep living for Jesus. That doesn't mean you're all going to become preachers. Of course, I'm not. My preaching time as a preacher is finished. I'm not going to pastor a church again. But in my daily life, I want to shine for Jesus. I want to shine for Jesus in the shopping center, on the park when I take my dog for a walk. I want to shine. I want to make my testimony clear to people that I love Jesus Christ. And I'm digging my heels in, devil. And I want to go out with a blaze of glory. I don't want you to quiet me down. I don't want you to shut me up. You're not going to be able to do that. Because greater is he that is in me than you that's in the world. I know the best for us is yet to come. I don't know how this is going to upset the people who's on camera just now, but I'm going to do something which I'm told not to do. Just stay with me. If you get your camera still on me, that's okay. If not, you can hear. You can hear online. We're nearly finished. Just about finished. I just want you to, I've come down to the altar to make a stand for you. I have. I want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I want to stand for you in this wicked world in which I live. Whatever year, I don't know how long I've got. Weeks, months, or years. I don't know. But what I've got, I want it to count. I wonder if you feel the same. Would you like to make a stand for Jesus? I don't want you to come out here because I'm telling you to. Please don't do that. I don't want you to make a stand if you don't feel you want to. Because God's looking at your heart. But if this message has stirred you, that you think, yeah, we need more people to make a stand for Jesus, then what I want you to do is get up from your seat, come and stand with me, and we'll stand and we'll just say a quick prayer for Jesus, to Jesus, to give us the strength to stand for him. Amen. Amen. You come. Kabaru kuku shundara kababaha. Kababo shukabaru kuku rushandalaka. Ndabaru kuku shukaba. You come now. I'm going to pray in a moment. Don't wait. If you feel you need to be here, come and make a stand. Stand for your marriage. Stand for your marriage. Stand against lust. Stand against temptation. Stand for your family. Stand up for Jesus. Stand against sickness. Stand for him. Say, I'm making a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want him to be glorified in and through my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come just now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to pray for myself. I want you to be included in this prayer. If that's you, just come right now. Right now. Don't hesitate. Come. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I want to thank you because you haven't given up on this world. Lord, often I look at the church, Lord, and the church becomes so weak at times and seems that the church has given up on the world, but you haven't, Lord. And I thank you that you haven't given up on this world, that you love the world and you want us to be your light. You want us to be the salt, and that salt is you, Lord. You want us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so we here at the front this morning, Lord, we're making a stand. We're telling you, Father, we're standing again for Jesus. We're digging our heels in and we say, Jesus, work through me, move through me, use me for your eternal glory. Use my tongue, use my lips, use my hands, use my feet, Lord. Use my eyes, use my ears. Use what little bit of finance I have. Use it, Lord, for the glory and the majesty of your name. So that when you come, Lord, you'll come and find us ready to be with you. You'll come and find us and you'll say to us, well done, you good and faithful servant. I pray every one of us in this place will make a strong stand for you. May your spirit fill us. May your hand be upon us. May the blood of Jesus wash us and cleanse us from all sin. Lord, we stand afresh in Jesus' name. Now, what I want you to do now is lift your voices just for a moment, just for a few seconds. Praise him. Come on. Lift your voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. And Father, I want to thank you for this church. I pray that we will be a church that's ever moving forward. Thank you for Pastor Pamela. Let there come a mighty anointing upon her, Lord, as she leads this church and the elders and the workers and the children's workers. I want to thank you for all the children we have, the youth that we have. Thank you for everybody that belongs to this church. And those who are watching online, Lord, I pray those who are watching online will make a stand for you as well. Again today, we make a fresh stand. We don't know how long we have, Lord, before you come again. But in the time that we have, help us to redeem the time because the days are evil. May this be a church that goes on from strength to strength, from glory to glory, progressing in you and bringing many into the kingdom. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Enjoy fellowship with us afterwards. Thank you.